This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. We saw some rain records get smothered this past week in parts of Florida and flooding in portions of Collier County, pronounced a soggy beginning to our rainy season. Coming up in the second half of our show, we'll look at just how much rain fell this week and what it means for our drought conditions in the state. And we'll talk with a local roofer about what you should have an eye on if you're thinking about repairs in the wake of that rain. But first, World Elder Abuse Awareness Day is coming up next week, and while we often think of scams and exploitation as one of the greatest threats to our older citizens, experts say there's a greater threat that often goes unrecognized. It's elder self-neglect, and according to a Rush University study in which 10,000 elderly people participated, self-neglect was responsible for a five-fold increase in premature death for seniors. Here to talk with us about elder self-neglect is Sherry Young. She's the Health and Wellness Director with the Southwest Florida Area Agency on Aging. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
Also here to help us address diet and nutrition is a major aspect of elder care and self-neglect is Dee Harris with Designed Nutrition. She's a registered dietitian, certified diabetes instructor, and also is certified with the the Institute for Functional Medicine. Dee, thank you so much for being part of the show.
My pleasure.
We are talking about elder abuse in the form of self-neglect. Do you have a loved one that you suspect might be in this situation, and do you have questions as to how to help? Give us a call and ask our experts at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU, using the hashtag GCL. First, Sherry Young, what exactly is self-neglect?
Self-neglect is the failure on the part of a vulnerable adult to provide the things that are necessary for their own personal care, their health, or their living situation.
So is this something that's intentional? Do people just kind of
– No.
They just don't care anymore? Or?
A lot of times they're just overwhelmed with their health conditions. They don't have family or friends nearby that can assist them or check in on them, make sure that they have what they need. A lot of times they're just depressed, too, because of their health conditions and their situation.
So there are physical limitations, and there are also kind of like a mental component that comes
definitely
into play here. And emotional, yeah. So what kind of things do they neglect to do?
Care for themselves properly, their hygiene, their living environment. They might have unsanitary or unsafe living conditions. Their home's in disrepair. They're too overwhelmed to clean or maintain their home properly, failure to take their medications, failure to get proper nutrition, go out and do their grocery shopping, failure to treat their own health conditions as they should. You'll find that they have untreated wounds, sores, rashes.
Are victims of self-neglect always people that are living on their own, or sometimes there are elderly couples that kind of go down this path together?
No, I would say it's a combination. We have couples who maybe one of the spouse or the partner has poor health and is unable to take care of the person that they used to take care of.
So it's not safe to assume that grandma's okay because grandpa's there or grandpa's
exactly.
okay because grandma's
exactly.
there.
Exactly. Maybe at one time, one of the spouses was the caregiver, but now they're both in declining health, or one's just become too overwhelmed because they don't have the education or the skills or the training to mm-hmm. care for the other person's declining health conditions.
It's a serious issue. I mean, it's a problem and it leads to a lot of health problems, and a lot of it, the malnutrition is a big deal.
Absolutely. And self-neglect is actually the highest reported when they did studies for caregivers. They found that it's far outpacing reports of physical and sexual abuse and even neglect by others.
Wow. So on that nutrition bent, let's talk to Dee Harris with Design Nutrition. What happens when a person just kind of stops eating the right things? They neglect to take care of their nutrition.
Well, we have to understand that every function in our body depends on nutrients.
Yeah.
And so when we have when we have people who are not eating well, they become micronutrient deficient, and ultimately it causes changes in not just their overall health, but it also changes their mood and their mental ability too. It's really important to understand the importance of micronutrients in this population.
What is a micronutrient? Is it like vitamin C or vitamin D?
you know, we all know what macronutrients are, protein, fat, and carbohydrate. So within protein, fat, and carbohydrate in those food groups, we have these vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants. Those are micronutrients. And we need minerals. We need, you know, we were talking earlier before the show started that people lose their appetite, and sometimes that's why they can't eat or they just lose interest. Well, many times if they are deficient in zinc is so important in the taste buds. They also lose the ability to smell, so they just forget to eat, or they just aren't interested.
Well, when you lose the pleasure of eating,
the pleasure. But ultimately, it can cause a major decline. You know, just think of food as being your lifeline. It really is our lifeline.
And when you get older, it's pretty vital because you don't eat quite as much, too.
No.
What are some of the things that we kind of take for granted when we're younger that are foods that we just have around that older people just don't seem to be able to access as much?
Oh, my goodness. I think fresh fruits and vegetables is a big one, because I think that when we're talking about fresh fruits and vegetables, you need the ability to chew. And especially when we're talking about salads and apples and broccoli and whatever, you need a good ability to chew. And I think as we age, we end up with having dental issues. And also the other thing that people don't realize is that when the brain starts to deteriorate, we also could have swallowing issues, which is quite common in neurological conditions such as Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. But I'm seeing it in even people who don't have those neurological conditions. So I have to do as much as I can to get micronutrient-dense foods in, making sure they're on supplementation to augment whatever they're eating.
So what kind of things do you see people eating when they do get older?
Well, the typical thing, and, you know, God bless my mother, she died at 96. But toward the end, I mean, it was a really good, my sister lived close by, that she could provide her with meals. Because if she weren't there, my mom would have depended on oatmeal at dinner at night. You know, and she knew better. She just didn't have the energy. So, you know, we typically see canned soups, applesauce, oatmeal, cereal and milk. I mean, those are, you know, and sometimes you'll just see peanut butter and jelly, peanut butter sandwiches, something super easy. So what we do in our practice is we do a lot of education, and I'll do it with family members, with caretakers, just to get them to, you know, show them that there's options out there to keep people healthy.
No, Sherry, do you see that kind of a menu set up for a lot of older people too, with the soup and the oatmeal?
Yes, definitely. The easier, the better. And in fact, Dee and I were talking out in the lobby earlier. We had a case where the gentleman always relied on his wife to do the cooking. Well, she was suffering from dementia, could no longer do the cooking. So they were getting by on a diet of granola bars and Pepsi.
Yeah. So then what is happening nutritionally then, Dee, in that kind of a situation? If you're having canned soup and oatmeal, what are you missing?
Oh, lots of protein. And vitamins and minerals, and especially if somebody's drinking like the Diet Pepsi or the Pepsi or whatever, we don't even consider that food. That's
exactly.
Not good.
Yeah, that's not a nutrient.
Not at all.
Source, no.
But with oatmeal, you're getting a little bit of protein. You're getting mostly carbohydrates. And people don't realize that as we age, we still need protein to maintain muscle mass and to maintain our skeletal muscle. If the skeletal muscle is weak, that, you know, they're at higher risk for falls. And protein is the main ingredient to make our neurotransmitters. That affects our mood, our sleep. It affects everything. It's really important to have all vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, have the whole ball of wax. You need it all.
So do you think if somebody, you know, they're pretty hung up on their oatmeal because it's convenient and easy mm-hmm. to make, can you slip in some protein powder and something like
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. I mean, there's so many things you can do with oatmeal. You can add, you know, I'm sure you've seen recipes now with the chia seeds mixed with oatmeal, and you can put it in overnight in the refrigerator and have oatmeal the next morning already done with fruit and chia seeds and the oatmeal and maybe almond or coconut milk or something like that. You can add protein powder to it.
And then as far as not being able to eat fresh fruits and vegetables, what would you suggest as a replacement for that?
I do a lot of cooked. You can do frozen vegetables and cook them and steam them and cook them until they're soft enough for people to tolerate.
Okay. Well, the old wives' tale was that if you cook them too much, you cook the nutrition out of it. Is that true or no?
Well, if you cook it in a soup, you're actually drinking the liquid that you've cooked it in.
Okay, so then when you drain it off, that's where the problem is.
So you don't. That's why steaming is better, because you're maintaining the nutrients. If you boil it to death, that's the problem, and that's what happens with some canned vegetables, like canned green beans. You can just tell the difference in the color.
So you're saying then that frozen is the way to go.
Frozen is the best. You're going to maintain the most amount of nutrients. Of course, fresh is always great, but again, for convenience sake, if you have frozen vegetables done in the freezer, they're easy to get out, they're easy to cook.
So if you're an older person that kind of doesn't really have all the energy in the world and doesn't really feel like cooking, just throwing in a few frozen vegetables into your regular canned soup would probably be helpful?
Much better, yes, because bottom line is we need to get more vegetables in, and actually even cutting up some if you have a roast chicken. If you buy a roast chicken for a week and they can eat off of it in all different ways, but you can chop up some chicken and put it in the soup and add extra vegetables. The only thing that we caution people is most of those canned soups are really, really high in sodium. So if you're going to purchase canned soups, we typically like to have people buy the ones that are a little lower sodium variety.
They're pretty clearly marked with the low
yes,
sodium versions. It seems like a lot of them do mm-hmm. have a secondary version with lower sodium.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now they do.
And then I was going to ask, a lot of grocery stores are offering prepared foods. Are there prepared foods at the grocery store that people might want to order for delivery?
Yes. I mean, if you go to a lot of the stores, I mean, I'm thinking of Fresh Market that has, and that's typically not where a lot of the population goes. But, a lot of them have these big cabinet counters now that have different salads in it and that have cooked asparagus and that have chicken breasts. And those are great. I mean, those are what we call bistro meals. And sometimes because the elderly doesn't need as many calories, they're not burning it, they could probably get two meals out of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that would be great. There's also some frozen dinners. There's a thing called Artisan Bistro, which is a really nice frozen dinner that is very easy to cook. They're very healthy. Many of them are, and they have vegetables and they have the protein, and it's a much better blend of food mm-hmm. for them as an option.
If you're just joining the show, we're talking about elder self-neglect and ways to boost nutrition intake with a registered dietitian and a wellness specialist for the elderly. Do you have any questions or a comment or an idea to share? Give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. And now, in this day and age, we have a lot of grocery delivery systems. Mm-hmm. Sherry, have you been dealing with anybody that's having groceries delivered to their door? Does that help?
Well, we do have clients that receive the Meals on Wheels already. We have congregate meal sites at some of the senior centers. But now that I'm noticing a lot more grocery stores, Publix, Walmart, well, Walmart has the curbside delivery. I think that's going to start assisting with getting these meals out to seniors even more.
Yeah. And I wanted to ask about Meals on Wheels. Are there income or age requirements for those programs?
Yes, there are some requirements when they go through the screening process, when they call our elder helpline. We don't just screen them for one program, such as the Meals on Wheels. We're going to assess the client for any and all needs that they might have, caregiving services at home, respite care, the nutrition as well, electrical assistance if they need some help with their electric bill. We try to get all of those situations wrapped up in one nice little
ball. Like screening call.
Yes. And instead of just giving them different phone numbers to contact for each of those services, we refer to our huge database of referral programs, resources, and line those services up for the client so that
– That's convenient.
Yes, especially the adults that live up north and they're trying to line up services for their older parents that live here. Mm-hmm. They're not familiar with the area. They're not familiar with the resources that are out there. They don't want to have to make a dozen different long-distance calls. So they can just call our toll-free elder helpline, speak to someone, get all those services and programs lined up. And
that's great that there's distance care.
Yes.
You know, because a lot of people, you know, retire down here and you don't really know what's going on when you're so many miles away. Or maybe the last visit you noticed that they weren't cleaning their house the way they used to. So maybe.
Right. Or you make that phone call and mom or dad assures you that everything's fine. We're good.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, everything's falling apart.
Yeah. And then for the people, though, that haven't reached out for help, there's also these delivery grocery things. And then there are also things that I was talking with Dee about before. Some of that, the ability to enjoy cooking is the conviviality of being in the kitchen and creating it yourself. But then when you're an older person, the idea of going to the grocery store is not incredibly appealing. And then you're afraid you're going to overbuy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want to get, you know, a whole big bunch of parsley and a whole bunch of carrots when you just need one carrot. And you're kind of on a budget and you don't want to spend all that money. And it does. Does add up.
Mm-hmm.
But there are services that you were mentioning that deliver all the ingredients that you need for a specific dish, and it comes to your door, and you can just make that dish, and then you're done. Tell me a little bit about some of those.
Oh, there's some really good ones. I actually use Sunbasket. Sunbasket is 100% organic, and what it does is you get three meals out of it, but it's three meals for two people, but they're huge portions. So I actually can split it and have lunch the next day, but it's exactly the amount of ingredients you need for those recipes. So you actually save money in the long run because you're not throwing away food. There's Plated, there's HelloFresh, there's just a whole bunch of them. But I think it's a great option. And especially if a family member comes down and wants to help mom and dad out, they can actually use this. You can order it as needed. You're not locked in. And then they can prepare a week's worth of meals perhaps and freeze them so that it's readily available.
So it's portioned out ingredients. Come to your door. You can cook it up yourself or somebody who's taking care of you.
Correct.
Or maybe somebody who's coming for a visit. You can, you know, just kind of hook them up because you don't really want to go to a restaurant. Have them take care of the cooking part for you.
And they're only 30 minutes. It only takes 30 minutes to prepare a meal. So it's really quick and it's very nutritious. Lots and lots of vegetables.
Well, and it's fresh stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And how much do they cost usually?
Oh, anywhere between $50 and $70, but remember, you could be getting a total of a whole week's worth of menus.
$50 to $70, and that's a week's worth of dinners.
Correct.
That's less than I spend on my groceries.
It's less than most people do. So.
Yeah, we have a call coming in from Catherine in Naples. Catherine, what would you like to ask about?
I have a comment for your guest who referred to those who take care of others as caretakers. We're not caretakers. We are caregivers. The caregiver gives so much of herself, himself, so much more than just the obvious things. But a caretaker is the guy that mows the lawn and trims the bushes. And so it rankles quite a bit to be called a caretaker because I'm not taking things from my parents as I care for them. I'm giving.
Okay, well, I would like to apologize for any inference. We're not assuming anybody is a taking, but we definitely know that there's a lot of giving when you're taking care of your parents.
Absolutely.
Or a loved one.
Agreed.
It is not an easy job to do. But so these are just some pointers to try to help out with that giving of care to the people that you care about. And one of the best ways is to love someone through their stomach, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what's happening when someone is getting older? Do they just require – you said they require fewer calories. Do they just not want to eat as much? Do they lose their sense of taste?
They do. They lose a lot of their senses are diminished, sense of smell, sense of taste. And if things don't taste good to you, you're not going to have much of an appetite. Depression affects appetite. Sometimes the person is just overwhelmed with all their other health conditions and they actually forget to eat. You know, they're sleeping a lot during the day. By the time it's dinner time, they just don't have the energy to get up and cook something. So they just figure they'll eat tomorrow.
Yeah. So June 15th is going to be the official World Elder Abuse Awareness Day. And you've got a proclamation from Governor Scott about that. Tell me about that.
Yes, I do. So this started back in 2006.
And Governor Scott issued a proclamation where he proclaimed June 15th as Florida's World Elder Abuse Awareness Day, and just wants to remind everyone to, you know, keep an eye out for our seniors. Do what you can to recognize the signs of abuse and neglect and exploitation, and to step up, make those calls to report these cases when you suspect there are indications of abuse or neglect. It is mandatory in the state of Florida that we report abuse and neglect when we suspect it. We don't have to have proof. Department of Children and Families, Adult Protective Services, they'll conduct the investigation to find out what's going on. But
so, I mean, if you suspect that your parents not taking care of themselves, do you report them?
Yes, absolutely, because that's how the person is going to receive the care and the assistance they need. You make that report, an investigation is made, and we can get those services lined up that that person needs.
Well, you just feel bad, though, turning in your mom or dad.
Well, if nobody is able to, especially if you live out of the
area far away,
and nobody else is able to go in and care for them, the main thing is that you get these services and programs in place that they need.
Well, they don't get punished.
No.
So what happens then? Somebody calls in and says, hey, I'm worried about my mom and dad. They were fine, but the last time I saw them, they didn't seem like they were doing that great. Can you go check them out? What happens then?
Absolutely. So they do the investigation. They find out what's going on. You know, is it a case of self-neglect? Is there a caregiver in the home that's not providing the proper care, and there's a case of actual neglect or abuse? And then from there, that's when services are put into place, whether they need to remove someone from the home that is, you know, the one that's doing the neglecting, or whether they just need to get assistance in the home for the person that's self-neglecting.
And that's where they get the services that they would have gotten had they called, like, your 1-800
Absolutely,
number.
Calling the area agency on aging.
They might be qualified for, like, some Meals on Wheels or one of the other things that you guys do.
Definitely.
Well, that you guys can direct them towards. So I understand.
Yes.
So, Dee, I wanted to ask, as a person is approaching aging, we're all heading in that direction. So what can somebody do in their 50s, 60s, even 70s and 80s in order to kind of set themselves up with a good base or set themselves up to age healthfully?
Well, I think getting labs done, number one. I think going to the doctor and having regular checkups and getting labs done so that you can see if you – and specifically looking at vitamin D levels, we actually read labs differently than your physicians do, because we actually take those labs and can – extract whether or not there are some deficiencies, especially in zinc and B12 and folate and vitamin D, and getting on a good multivitamin, and not one with fillers or additives, one that has active forms of B12 and folate, which is a methylated form. It should say methyl B12, methyl folate. So, and not the gummies.
The gummies are bad, you told
the
me.
The gummies have the first ingredient is usually high fructose corn syrup or some kind of sugar. And most of our population now is facing issues with blood sugar. We don't want to add more sugar, especially in a vitamin. And the other thing you don't want to do is have artificial colors or flavors in it, because now you have to detox those things. The thing about gummies is they're not full of nutrients. They're not a good source.
Okay, so I wanted to ask you then, what if somebody is kind of having pill fatigue? You know, if you're older and you're taking a lot of different medications, you don't want another pill. It was kind of nice to just chew on a gummy that was
sweet. There are some really –
What are other ways?
Yeah, there are some really good ways. There's liquid multivitamins that are food-based that are great. There are there's a powdered form that we sell in our office that is just you just do a scoop and it tastes like a fruit punch, but it doesn't have sugar in it. And so there are other ways of getting the nutrients in, but the key is to get the nutrients in. And the other thing I want to mention is not necessarily depending on Ensure or Boost as a meal replacement. Food is always first. And it's very important because food's giving us a lot more than what those shakes can give us. If you look at the back of those labels on those shakes, the first ingredient, again, is a high fructose corn syrup. And so we try to steer if you can – there's another product that I use, you know, that I recommend for people who are on Ensure, and I'll put them on a thing called Orgain, which still has some sugar in it, but it has nutrients in it, but it's more – organic. It's a much cleaner product.
So no gummies. No, you just gummies. Have to try to find another
Sorry,
source.
Sorry, Julie.
I know, I'm just really bummed about it.
I take a liquid vitamin. It's a multivitamin, yeah. And it's a little capful, like a cough syrup cap, and it tastes great. I have no problem with it. If anyone does have a little issue with it, you know, just chase it with a glass of water and –
Yeah. So, Sherry, I wanted to ask you, do you have any programs where you have people who maybe are volunteers that go into older people's homes and cook with them or cook for them?
We do not currently, but that's a great idea. If we could start a program like that in this area with so many seniors living down here on their own.
Well, and people are retiring, but people aren't aging as quickly. You know, a lot of retirees here are very vibrant and have a lot of energy and then have some time on their hand.
Right.
So maybe that getting together and cooking over a stove together and yeah. talking about preparing a meal.
Especially someone, you know, who already has that love of cooking, which I do not. I'm no good at cooking. But yeah, if they're looking for a way to volunteer, that would be a great venue for them to still be able to use their skills and do something good for the community. And
what kind of interventions have you seen working with people in self-neglect cases? And you mentioned a couple of cases where one guy was having Pepsi and granola bars.
Right.
What kind of things can turn that around?
Well, you know, if it's just a matter of somebody's not able to do the shopping anymore to get those groceries at home, maybe he's just going to the local convenience store down the street and that's what's handy, then the meals on wheels, programs like that, if they are still able to get out or have access to transportation, such as the buses, you know, that transport to the senior centers, they can have congregate meals at these senior centers where they just come, show up, enjoy some lunch. There's some social interaction there with other folks their age, which that's really key to keep them socially active as well.
Have you seen somebody on their first day walking into one of these, you know, kind of social lunches at one of the senior centers? Have you watched them have they blossomed as a result?
We do. In fact, Hope Connections out in LaBelle, I go out there frequently and they have this program in place. And so many of the folks that come for lunch have also started taking part in other programs such as our falls prevention exercises. We have Tai Chi classes out there. So they'll come for the Tai Chi and they'll stay for lunch and then they can sit and read or do puzzles, play card games with the other folks. And so they tend to stay several hours and it gets them out of the house, gets them outside, gets them active, and it's just done wonders.
It gets them involved in doing something. I imagine, though,
Absolutely.
That first trip must be a little nerve-wracking if you haven't been out much.
Right. And sometimes it takes an event such as their spouse passing away and they realize how lonely they are. They need to get out, especially if that spouse was the one that did a lot for them, such as the cooking. They're going to rely on somebody else now to do that. So that kind of forces them into giving this a try.
And this might be a good tip for caregivers to, you know, another thing, they can look at some of the events that through your website.
Yes.
To just, you know, hey, I'm your caregiver. Let's just take a ride and we'll go to this thing and see if they enjoy it.
Absolutely.
Maybe.
Absolutely. And another program I failed to mention earlier for those who are still able to get out is the locally here we have the Harry Chapin Food Bank and they have mobile pantries and they've really expanded recently to their different locations that they serve. So these mobile pantries will come out to communities and you can come out and get the groceries that you need. They're trying to add a lot more of the fresh fruits and vegetables from local co-ops and farms. So they even have the garden downtown Fort Myers. They have that community garden where folks can help by growing the food themselves.
Yeah, locally grown.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are going to have to leave things there for now, but I want to thank our guests, Dee Harris of Designed Nutrition and Sherry Young with the Southwest Florida Area Agency on Aging. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you, Julie.
Thank you for having me.
And we have links to both of your websites and links to a lot of the things that we talked about today in our web story about this discussion today on WGCUnews.org. So be sure to check that out for more information. Coming up, we're diving into rainy season after a week of downpours saturated much of South Florida. We'll look at the rainfall numbers and the forecast ahead, plus what the waterlogged weather could mean for your home. I'm Julie Glenn, and this is Gulf Coast Live. Stay with us.